بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and a very warm welcome to this week's edition of Living the Legacy. On this week's edition, we continue with our current theme, which is Heart of the Believer, striving to learn more about what is it that develops the heart of a believer and how do we develop the heart of a believer? What are the qualities? And one of them is that of reconciliation. Later on in our program, we'll be learning more about the meaning of reconciliation, discovering what the Quran teaches us about reconciliation, learning gems of this from the Sirah and Hadith, and the etiquette of Islam on this topic. So we look forward to sharing that with you, inshallah, later on today's program. But before we get started with the program, our introduction, our reflection for today takes us to Surah Hud, Ayah 115, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واصبر فإن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. And be patient, for surely Allah does not waste the reward of the good doers. So wherever you are, in whatever space in your life now, you may be facing some difficulty. But beyond that difficulty is a new level of Allah's favor for you. That challenge is not there to stop you. It is there to develop you. So it's important that we have complete tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we know that Allah does not burden us beyond what we can bear, that we continue to declare Allah's goodness and we continue to declare the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When everything seems to be dark or gloomy in life, let us ponder on the life of Yunus alayhi salam, that Allah brought him out of the darkness of the belly of the whale when he supplicated to him, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There is no God but you. Glory to you. Verily, I was one of the wrongdoers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware about your situation. And inshallah, he will bring you out of your darkness too. We'll continue to seek help from Allah alone by asking for forgiveness, by calling upon Him with His beautiful name. Remember and know that Allah is watching you. He's watching you fight your battles, and never ever underestimate the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can make things right in less than a blink of an eye. So our duty is to make dua for it, to make dua for khair, and to continue living a life of tawakkul, to continue making efforts where we can. Let us not give up, because with iman, with patience, it is a matter of time before we see the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to pass. Remember, challenges are not there to stop us. They are there to develop us. And through that difficulty and beyond the difficulty you have in your life right now is a new level of Allah's favor for you. This is something we must believe, we must know, we must be aware of. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in this regard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us and make us of those who grow through our iman and who grow through our difficulties, and make us of those who rely only on Him and who remember His greatness, His power, and His might. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. Now, our current series here on Living the Legacy has been for this month on the heart of a believer. We've explored different angles, from husnul dhan billah, having high hopes and high regard in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to thinking well of others, and more recently, respect for truth. Today, our topic is reconciliation. And as we do, we go back to Quran and Sunnah to discover what reconciliation means to the heart of a believer. Now, this can be a touchy subject for some. I think often our egos resist this, but it is nonetheless valuable for us to know if we are seeking to develop this legacy, to have this heart of a believer. We're going to go for a short nasheed break, and after this nasheed, we're going to be speaking to Ustada Zahida Nathu. She is a teacher at Madrasa Salihat and a childbirth educator. She'll be talking to us more on the topic of reconciliation. Stay with us. Welcome back to the program, and we're going to be heading into our topic now, which is heart of a believer. And each week we explore a different angle to the heart of a believer. Last week we looked at respect for truth, and today we're looking at a topic that needs to be discussed, that we all need to hear, and it is a topic for our hearts, and the topic is reconciliation. Joining us on the program today is a teacher at Madrasa Salihat and a childbirth educator, Mu'allima Zahida Nathu. Assalamu alaikum, Mu'allima.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, Aba Rehana. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, bikhair. And we hope you are doing well.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Mu'allima, our topic is reconciliation. So perhaps we could start at the very basis to build our foundation with you. And that is by asking you to tell us, what do we understand when we hear, what should we be understanding when we hear the term reconciliation?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, so the Arabic word for reconciliation is islah. So one meaning is to make something prosper or to encourage someone or help someone to thrive. So like how someone prepares the land and the soil to make it favorable for plants to grow, a muslih helps a person to be good and righteous. So if we look at it, then we can say that the job of islah is the responsibility of leaders, parents, teachers, and mentors. Another meaning is to reform. So this is to make changes to something in order to improve it or to fix it by removing any faults or abuse or injustices. That's in a literal sense. And in a more spiritual sense, it means to cause someone to abandon evil ways and come onto the straight path. Another meaning is to make peace or reconcile between two people or parties who have disputed or aren't speaking to each other. The word reconciliation, the meaning is very limited and only refers to making peace when there's a dispute. And unfortunately, many times in social interaction or relationships, we tend to just act according to our own desires and opinions, and then only after something goes wrong, we need to make islah and reconciliation. But mashallah, the word, the Arabic word islah, is so comprehensive. When we embrace the full meaning, we can think ahead and be more intentional about what we can do to lay down a foundation or create an atmosphere in which our relationships can prosper and bring peace, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. I loved how you brought in that aspect of making our relationships prosper. Because I think many of us, it is so much about, how we can just have our relationships continue. But when we talk about it prospering, that takes on a completely different angle. And I'm so excited to learn more from you on that today. So if we could start, Mu'allima, with our foundation of the Quran, what does the Quran Kareem teach us about reconciliation, please?
Okay, so let's look at the opposite of reconciliation and islah before, so that we can gain understanding. So Allah says in Surah Anfal, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Obey Allah and His Messenger and don't dispute. Why? What will happen when the Muslim Ummah starts to dispute? فَتَفْشَلُوا. You will lose courage. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And your strength will leave you. Meaning, as a collective and a superpower in the world, disputing amongst each other and not making islah will weaken us. And then Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. That surely the believers are brothers, so make peace and correct your affairs and reconcile amongst your brothers, so that mercy may be shown to you. So the same way that you as a mother won't let any time pass without letting your children apologize and make up, that same importance we should attach to reconciling the rest of the Muslims. Allah is encouraging us to be agents of peace and unity for His sake. Whoever makes islah between people seeking the pleasure of Allah, Allah says He will give them a great reward. Now let's look at what Allah says about how to reconcile between two people. So Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. O those who believe, do not put yourselves before Allah and His Messenger, and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is all-hearing and all-knowing. The Mufassirin give a few interpretations of this ayah, but one of them being, don't put your opinion and your view over Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's view. So to practice Islah and to be a better Muslim and to bring peace and righteousness, you have to trust that Allah and His Messenger know best, even if you don't see it, even if you don't understand it. And that every time Allah tells you something is right or wrong, that Allah is telling you from that perspective that Allah is Sami'un Alim and that Allah knows best. So you have to be willing to give up your own opinion even if you feel very strongly about it. And then we need to tell ourselves that what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam want comes first, and what I want comes second. And then Allah tells the believers, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, that obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority amongst you. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And if you disagree over anything, refer it. Refer what? Refer the matter to Allah and the Messenger, if you truly believe in Allah and the Last Day. So in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they have a dispute to give them a ruling. So how does this apply to us today? This matter of dispute that you have, refer it to Allah's law and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to make peace and bring righteousness. ذَلِكَ خَيْرُ وَأَحْسَنُ تَعْوِيلًا, and that is best for you and it yields the most beautiful result. So here's step one. If you come across a little challenge or a problem or an altercation, make islah by coming back to Allah. Reconcile our relationship, mend and fix our relationship with Allah, and come onto the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if you get to that point, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا, that if two Muslims argue or fight, then you, it is your duty to make amends between them, because the Muslims are one family. So it's our responsibility as fellow Muslims to play the role of reconciler where possible. Whether you are one of those parties or whether you are helping others to reconcile those two parties, and use Quran and Sunnah, like in the previous ayah, as your yardstick, and then agree to terms of reconciliation. Then they should go back and then they should try and mend their relationship. And then, فَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى, if after a muslih intervenes and then one of them breaches these terms and then they start fighting again, فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي, then the muslih and the oppressed person should team up and talk to the aggressor. And they can get other people involved as well, and they can apply pressure, حَتَّى تَفِيَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, so that they can bring this person back to Allah. It is narrated that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to this effect, that help your brother whether he is the oppressor or the victim of oppression. So the Sahabi replied, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I know how to help the oppressed, but how do I help the oppressor? So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by advising him on his oppressive behavior.
And that's a topic we hear, and maybe for another day, where we hear a lot of people, especially with social media and the topic of hijab, where people say, don't judge me, you know, and yet somehow we're forgetting that this is not judgment if advised correctly or if advised sincerely or advised kindly, but this is a command of Allah. So we need to be, I think, so cautious, so careful about how we respond and react, absolutely. Mu'allima, anything else? So we've looked at the Quranic foundation, you've given us the ayah, you've broken it up beautifully and taken us step by step through how we can live this ayah of the Quran. What about from the seerah or the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is his life his blessed example and that of his companions teaching us on reconciliation.
So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the doors of Jannah are open on Monday and Thursday. And every Muslim slave who doesn't associate anything with Allah is forgiven except for the man who has enmity between him and his brother. And then it will be said, leave these two until they have made reconciliation. Leave these two until they have made reconciliation. So from this hadith, we can see the seriousness of harboring malice against a fellow Muslim to such an extent that it actually prevents one from entering Jannah. Allah mahfazna. There's an incident also where fighting took place amongst the tribe of Banu Amr bin Auf. The news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and immediately he headed off to go and make reconciliation after the wafala between the members of the tribe. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Bilal radiallahu anhu before he left, if the time of Asr comes and I'm not back yet, then ask Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead the people in Salah. And then the time of Asr came. Then Bilal radiallahu anhu went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is delayed. Will you lead the people in Salah? And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said yes. So Bilal radiallahu anhu made Iqama, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu led the Salah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam subsequently returned, and he made his way through the rows to the first row, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu moved back so that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam can lead the Salah. So from this hadith, we can see the importance that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam attached to this act of making islah amongst his brothers. That even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was delayed for the Jamaat Salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said that لَيْسَ الْكَذَّابُ الَّذِي يُصْلِحُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَيَقُولُ خَيْرًا وَيَنْمِي خَيْرًا. That person who makes islah between people and he speaks good or he conveys good in order to avoid dispute is not regarded as a liar. So we can see from this hadith that even though lying is haram, one is allowed to tell a white lie if one has to do it to bring about reconciliation and peace amongst two Muslims or amongst families or society. If two Muslims aren't talking to each other and someone tells them such things which can remove conflict and rancor between them, promote mutual love and bring them nearer to each other, then even if it has a lie, it isn't called a lie in Islam.
Alhamdulillah. Mu'allima, so we've looked at what the Quran teaches us about reconciliation. We looked at the story or the example of Bilal radiallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also times in which we can talk a certain way so that it can facilitate for reconciliation. Now, Islam teaches us very beautiful etiquette and the adab for everything. Adab of how we eat and drink and how we talk to others, how we host our guests, etc. When it comes to reconciliation, what is the adab that we need to keep in mind? So we may have listeners listening in and thinking, okay, I know there's some issue I need to reconcile at my workplace or at home with my friends. You know, what's the adab we need to keep in mind as believers?
SubhanAllah, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have taught us so many etiquette for beautiful social conduct which help promote good relationships and prevent disputes, and also some advices for reconciliation. And I will mention a few here. And it's interesting to note also that although we are calling them etiquettes, many of them are commands of Allah. So the first one is making salams. So spreading salams amongst each other is a declaration of peace. It's a means of instilling love and fostering understanding and solidarity between Muslims. And when saying salams genuinely, one person is telling another person that he is safe from his potential evil and harm. And then to add to that, when people part ways, they are required to exchange salams again when they see each other, implying that in each other's absence, they are all safe from each other's backbiting, spying, plotting, jealousy, etc. Allah says in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah prohibits us from three things. Allah says, number one, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. إن بعد الظن إثم. that avoid thinking lots of negative thoughts about people, because some of these thoughts are actually a sin and can be punishable. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, the second thing. Don't spy on people. Don't go and look into people's private matters and go and do research and then find out this and this about somebody's private life. This person has this fault and that person has that fault. And the third thing, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Don't backbite. We would never want to eat the flesh of any person, let alone if the person is someone close to us or our brother, and let alone if the person is dead. So if you dislike eating the flesh of your dead brother, we should dislike backbiting even more, because the punishment for it is so severe. Ya Allah, let us not be so distracted with the faults of others that we forget our own faults. Wouldn't we love that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah covers our faults? It is said that the one who covers the faults of a Muslim in the dunya, Allah will cover our faults on the day of Qiyamah. The next important point is verifying information. Allah tells us also in Surah Hujurat that when we receive information, we should first verify it before we spread it, or also before we react upon it. Because this will save people from so much possible harm, misunderstanding and conflict. And then once we know it's true, we have to think, is it even beneficial to mention it? For example, telling someone, you know, so-and-so was talking bad about you yesterday. This is what they said. And then you're going to make the person upset. We should avoid mentioning things like this that will cause disunity, even if it's true. Mm-hmm. And then regarding pride, anger, and rancor, Allah forbids us in Surah Hujurat, لا تسخر قوم من قوم. That Allah prohibits us from holding someone in contempt. In other words, thinking we are better than them, thinking they are worthless or beneath us. You know, when you see them, you turn up your nose. Why? عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم. That perhaps these people are better than, you know, this person who's judging them. And he says, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. That we shouldn't also insult one another or call each other with offensive nicknames. Pride is one of the root causes of all evils, like anger, rancor, harboring ill feelings against a Muslim, and all these resulting in dissension and discord. And of course, we need to remember that shaitan becomes so happy when people are disunited, and when we become angry, shaitan runs through our body. Subhanallah, there are so many lessons regarding social conduct that Allah has taught us in Surah Hujurat. It is also referred to Suratul Akhlaq. I urge everyone to read the surah, read the translation, ask someone to teach you the tafsir of this ayah. There's a wealth of information in the surah that can assist us in our in making islah in our daily lives. Another point is mashura. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded in Quran to make mashura with his companions, radiallahu anhum. Whereas he is ashraful anbiya, he receives wahi, no one is more intelligent than him. He isn't in need of making mashura with the sahaba, radiallahu anhum. But why does Allah command him to make mashura? It is to teach us to consult with others, regardless of whether they are in a lower position or whether they are younger than us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would consult with sahaba radiallahu anhum to such an extent that even matters pertaining to his personal life would also be discussed through mashura. The benefits of mashura is that it gives strength and self-confidence to the one who is consulting. It assures him that he is on the right path, you know, he feels comfortable and at peace. Mm-hmm. And then it creates unity by showing respect and soothing the souls of the ones who were consulted as well. And it is a source of nur and blessings in that decision and moving forward in that matter. No individuals, whether it's in a marriage or a family or a madrasa institute or a business organization, feels disregarded as they have had an opportunity to express their needs. Ali radiallahu anhu said that there's no person who would be destroyed after making mashura. There's also a saying that there are three types of people. One is a complete person. He's capable and he's intelligent. He knows what he wants, but he still consults with others. And the second person is a half a person. The person whose opinions are correct, he's intelligent as well, but he doesn't consult with others. And the third person can be categorized as a non-existent person. His opinions are incorrect, but then he still doesn't feel the need to consult with Allah's, with others. May Allah save us from that, inshallah. Another point is speaking and communicating according to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us to speak audibly and clearly. Each word that we say should be separated from each other, and we shouldn't mumble. And if need be, if someone didn't hear us or didn't understand, we should repeat ourselves 3 times. When we're talking, we should face the person we are talking to. Not be talking from one room to the other or looking down at our phone when talking. And don't talk from behind the person. It's very perplexing. All these things can detract from the love and understanding that should be brought about between two people. And it brings about the possibility of miscommunication. And it is poor communication which creates situations of misunderstanding and conflict. The next point is tawbah. That when we want to make islah and bring about peace after a dispute, we should turn to Allah in repentance, you know, for if there was any mistakes that came from our part. And then we should ask the person who we have wronged for forgiveness as well. And we should make effort to amend whatever wrong was done. For example, if someone stole something from someone, return the item. The next point is to make dua to Allah. So along with taking that action to make islah and to make things right, we need to turn to Allah in humble dua. Because we can spend as much money and as much effort to make peace between people, but Allah is muqallib al-qulub. He is the changer of hearts and He is the one who can bring people together. There's a dua, O Allah, reconcile with love and understanding between our hearts and resolve our broken affairs and guide us towards peace and paths of guidance. And take us out of the darkness, out of falsehood, out of ignorance, evil, etc., to the brightness of truth and guidance. Another point, my last point, is muraqabatul maut. That if one ponders about death, that reality of akhirah, and that dunya is temporary, and the fact that we need to worry, be so worried that we don't go to sleep or die with, you know, harboring ill feelings for another person in our heart, there will be no time to have petty arguments and disputes. And we would fear going, you know, going to sleep before we've cleared our heart of any of these ill feelings. May Allah grant us tawfiq, inshallah. Jazakallah.
Ameen. Ameen, ya Rabb. Allah, you've clearly put it out so clearly for us, Fatima, that we can refer back to these points, very practical. The program will be as a podcast, so listeners, you can go back to it, you can sit down to make notes, bring it up in your family halaqa, and look at how you're going to implement it, because it's really practical tools. Islam is a practical religion and a lifestyle. It's something that we live and not just read about. Mu'allima, as an educator, you know, teaching at madrasa, in the community, how do you find it with children when it comes to reconciliation? Is this something that's difficult for children? Does it come more naturally to children to reconcile, whether it's about toys or games or anything of that sort? Is it easier for kids to reconcile, do you find, or is it as tough as it is for adults? I'm curious to know, how do you find it?
I think that, you know, kids are, you know, born on fitra and they, you know, naturally are very loving, etc. But they will, as they grow up, they will model the behavior that they see from whoever's raising them, from their parents. So that goes very nicely back to that point of one of the definitions of islah, meaning to till the ground and to prepare the ground so that when you plant those seeds and water the ground, the plants will grow and come out healthy. So, you know, it's a big responsibility for us parents that we model the behavior of healthy communication with our, spouses in front of our children, and healthy dispute resolution in front of our children, inshallah, because this will be their only truth that they know. The only method that they know will be, or the first method that they'll know, is from those who are raising them. May Allah grant us tawfiq, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. You've so clearly and beautifully outlined it for us. I think we have no excuse to say, I don't know what my deen tells me about reconciliation, or I don't have examples in my sunnah, where you have given us the ayat, the examples, the statements of the sahaba, and given us a practical way on how to apply reconciliation, not just reconciliation, but with that etiquette that Islam gives us, which is so beautiful. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair for your time today, and for sharing with us. Anything that you wish to share, as in your closing remarks, before we bid you farewell? Anything else you'd like to bring up to the parents or teachers' attention?
No, alhamdulillah. I think I've spoken enough.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair. As always, it's so insightful listening to you, and the way you put everything together in this tapestry is beautiful. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah increase you in goodness and bless you and your family. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen. Same to you. And jazakallah so much for having me. Assalamu alaikum.
Barakallah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On the program today, we've been speaking with Muallima Zahida Natu, a teacher at Madrasa Salihat and a childbirth educator. And today our topic was all about reconciliation. What does it mean for us to reconcile as Muslims? And because our topic is heart of a believer, we're looking at aspects and how we can polish our hearts. And notice how each week our guest mentions and brings back parts of the topic to the clean heart, the pure heart, the cleansing of the heart. And this is so important for us, because the state that we want to go back to Allah in, and which we wish to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is with qalbun salim. Right? With a sound heart. And part of having a sound heart is ensuring that that heart is kept clean and pure in this dunya. May Allah grant us all hearts that are sound and pure. Ameen. We go for our last ad break of the hour. And when we return, we're talking about friends or friendship in Islam. More after this break. Stay with us. It is the last segment of this hour. A warm welcome. If you've missed the earlier parts of the program, it is open podcast. And our interview before the break was with an esteemed guest, Muallima Zahida Natu. And Muallima discussed with us, what does Islam, the Quran and Sunnah teach us about reconciliation? And how do we apply reconciliation and its principles with adab in our lives? Alhamdulillah. Now, if I were to ask you to grab a pen and paper and try to write down the names of all your friends and then to classify them into categories, right? Write down all the names of your friends and classify them into categories. And you would discover that some of them are not really friends, but casual companions. So one of them may be someone you travel with. You meet them on the bus or the taxi, or you have a Lyft club. You greet her, she greets you back. You ask each other a question, and that's it, right? That's all that happens. A word leads to a smile leads to a chat. And as the days go by, you find yourselves exchanging greetings now, and you're talking more as if you're close friends, although you don't know much more about this person. Then another person is someone who's your work colleague. You may be the employee, the office may be close to you, and you share a common workspace, and you share moments of seriousness, humor, and maybe frustration in the workspace, but you have totally different appearances or a mindset or backgrounds. You may come from different cultures or countries. You may also find on your list someone who, is just what we call a traveling companion. And so you may be on a flight somewhere, or you may be on a bus ride somewhere, and this person shares, you know, the seat nearby you, and you exchange greetings and you make some small talk and you share, you know, you sit, share that space, you're eating together. And you start to talk and learn about each other. And before that, you never knew anything about them. But you're not close to this person. And you don't care for them deeply. You just, you know, as time passes by, just chatting, talking through that time. And then you get people that would be your companion, someone who is someone, maybe your exercise companion, maybe your study pal, for example. And these are all different types of people that we meet in the course of life itself. But the best friend, and the one that we could all be blessed with, is a righteous friend. A righteous friend who steers us away from that which displeases Allah and leads us towards paradise instead. A friend who reminds us of Allah. A friend who leads us to the masjid or the halaqa or the ta'aleem or the madrasa class or the lecture program. Right? A friend who tells you about a good book that she read and encourages you to read it as well. A friend who encourages you to reconcile with someone else, to forgive more easily, to be more accepting, to pray on time, to read your Quran. These are the friendships that are the best of friendships. And then there are friendships with people who are honest and trustworthy. People who are honest in their relationship with Allah, but also in their relationship with fellow human beings. So when it comes to our lives, in essence, there are many types of people that we meet in this journey of life. Some we travel with, some are our lunch friends, some are our exercise friends, some are our Quran class friends, different types of people all through our journey of life. But the best of all these friends is that friend who reminds you of Allah and your duty to Allah. So at the start, I asked you to make a list of all the friends that you have. And I'd like you, whether you've made the list mentally or put it down on pen and paper, I'd like you to review that list. And who from amongst that list of friends, who from amongst them are friends who you consider to be your reminders to Allah, who you consider to be people who remind you of your duty to Allah, and who remind you to live the sunnah, who remind you to be humble and kind and polite and generous, who remind you to push more in Ramadan, to do more good deeds, who remind you that you are Muslim before anything else. And that's the type of friends that each one of us need to have, whether it's one friend like this or multiple friends like that. These are the type of friends that each of us need to have and that our children need to have as well, the next generation. So take some time this weekend to sit back, take stock and reflect. Do I have righteous friends, friends who remind me of Allah? Yes, we may all have friends who are honest and upright. Those are very important values. We may have friends who would leave everything at the drop of a hat to help us in an emergency, and those are precious friends too. However, the best of all friends, together with having these good friends, we all need friends who remind us of Allah, who remind us when we slip up, who remind us to exert ourselves and to continue doing more of that which pleases Allah. May Allah grant us such friends. Ameen. So to conclude, our dua today will be a dua for children, for the children of this ummah. Ya Allah, guide the children of our ummah in honoring and obeying you, your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and us as parents. Ameen. Ya Allah, make the children of this ummah the coolness of our eyes. Ameen. Ya Allah, fill our children with compassion and caring that will overflow to each member of our family. Ameen. Ya Allah, grant the children of this ummah piety. Help them love, value, appreciate, and respect one another with good communication between them always. Ya Allah, drive out any division from the children of this ummah and grant them healing Ya Allah, let there be no strain, no breach, no misunderstanding, no arguing, no fighting or severing of ties. Ya Allah, grant in this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam families and communities that are close, loving, happy, and who have fulfilling relationships. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Do join us next week as we continue with living the legacy and continue to explore what we can do to live and leave behind a fulfilling legacy. Until we meet again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.